And thank you. I'm thankful for God that for us who believe, he does comfort us, because we know that God does work all things for good, right? And we even sang about, what shall we fear? Whom shall we fear? If God is in control, what shall we fear? If God is for us, who can be against us, right? That's what Paul says. If God is for us, or can a hurricane be against us? End of Romans 8. At the end of Romans chapter 8, look it up. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Shall tribulation, shall famine, hurricanes, Miss Irma, right? Shall they separate us from the love of God? No. Neither life nor death, nor demonic forces, nor natural forces, nor even our own sin, if we're in Christ, will never separate us from the love of God. That's amazing, amen? Man, God will never take his love from us. And God will never let us go. Like, a hurricane won't separate us from God. In fact, we die. We get to Christ faster, right? I mean, in one sense, we lament and we mourn. It's a terrible thing. Death is a terrible thing. It's a result of our sin. It's horrible. It's a wicked thing that we brought upon ourselves. On the other hand, as a Christian, we don't fear. We don't have to fear that. We don't have to fear death because God has given us his life. Now, in the midst of it, it's still freaky, It's still freaky, right? When those winds come, it's still scary. But in the end, I have a rock-solid trust, When Deacon Tony and Melina are hiding in their little closet like Harry Potter underneath the stairs, right? The tornado is freaky. But in the end, we're like, we know God's in control, right? If God, takes us, like Wizard of Oz, our house goes flying in the air, right? Jesus is in control. It's okay. It's all right. And it is freaky, but we know in the end, God will bring us to himself. And this life is like a blip, right? Look at our passage today. Psalm chapter 18. Psalm chapter 18, verse 1. I love you, O Lord, the psalmist writes. I love you, O Lord. You're my strength. You're my strength. I love you because you're my strength. You're my everything. Verse 2. The Lord is my rock. He's my rock. He's my fortress. We sang about that too, right? He's my deliverer. Delivers me from all trials and tribulations. My God, my rock. In whom I take refuge. I take safety and security under the wings of my God. He's my shield, right? The horn. The horn. The horn kind of denotes a sense of power or stature, that symbolism, the horn of my salvation, my stronghold, a strong fortress, right? And this is my God. God will not slip away. Here's the thing. My life is in God's hands. In fact, we've been talking about this with the youth recently. Last month, we were going through a whole series on sexual purity. And we're talking about, what is marriage? Well, marriage really is a picture of Jesus' love for us. Jesus marries his church. In fact, we're one. Jesus and us are one. And the fact is, when we read this verse, it's not only he's my refuge, God is inside of me. He's one with me. We're separate still, but he's one. We're one together. And because that's so true, in some sense, we have to say to ourselves, I can handle anything. Not on my own, because God is one with me. It doesn't matter what God throws at me, because he's always got me. He's always there for me. And we have to continually preach ourselves that message, because we tend to forget that. We live in this natural world, but he is one with us. He is one with us. What can this world do to me? What can this sin do to me? He's my stronghold. He's my comfort. He's a fortress on sturdy rocks. When the waves crash in my life and whatever happens and the storms, the winds try to blow me over, it doesn't matter what it is. God, keep running to God. God, sustain me. Keep my focus on you. You love me. You died for me. You've given me your spirit to live a life for you and life or death. It's not just hurricane, right? It can be simply your day-to-day job, your career. It can be tough at times. God is your fortress. God is your stronghold. When your boss is on your case, when your coworkers are really just driving you crazy, right, with some of the things they say or do, God is my refuge. I will cling to him, and I'll be a light to him. We have nothing to fear. Persecution, harassment, right? Listen, hurricanes are bad, but think about Jesus. Jesus went under a hurricane, in a sense, right? Metaphorically, he went to the cross. He was on the hurricane of God's wrath. Why? Because Jesus took our sins upon himself. God justly punished his son because he punished him for our sins, because God wanted us to be saved. But there had to be a sacrifice for our sins. There had to be an atoning blood work for our sins. There had to be a payment for our sins. We just can't waltz into heaven being unholy, wicked people in front of God. God had to send his son to die for us. Jesus went through that hurricane for us. He loves us. He went to the cross. We will too. Just because we're Christians, we can't avoid hurricanes. Just whether you're good or bad or Christian or non-Christian, this hurricane comes and everybody's in the way. But Jesus has saved us from this world. We got to keep our faith in him. And you know, no tyrant, no jailer will destroy our foundation. You know, we think hurricanes are bad. Think about what's happening to Christians in the Middle East. Think about what's happening to Christians in China and the house churches. I mean, they are under intense persecution every day. I mean, they have a hurricane every day from government authorities, from you know, people coming after them. And they got to say, my fortress is God. It's nothing in this world. Nothing in this world will save me. No material thing will save me. My fortress, my love is God. He saved me. My life is his. And one day, he will bring justice. He'll come back and bring justice and peace. My life belongs to him. And then when we know this in our hearts, when we believe this truth, then we share with our neighbors. We share with our classmates at school. You know, why do hurricanes come? And we can say, listen, I don't know all the reasons, but I know we're sinful before God. We need this God, this holy God, to save us. There's worse things than death. It's being under the judgment of God forever. And there's a hope to this life, that your life, even if your life is just wiped out in a moment because of a hurricane, I know Jesus Christ. He's forgiven me for sins, and he's guaranteed me eternal life because Jesus himself rose from the dead. That's what we got to focus on during all of this. One of my prayers during all this as we pray, and I know a lot of us, you know, are praying the same thing, is that, first of all, yeah, we pray for safety for people in the Caribbean and back in Houston and comfort. We pray for these things. But most importantly, we should be praying, God, use this hurricane to bring people to you. Maybe this will wake some people up that, hey, life is like that. It doesn't matter how big your house is. It can be blown down in a second. I mean, do you realize if we had a hurricane category 5? I mean, we were spared, guys. God had mercy on us. Hurricane 5 is basically would wipe out entire South Florida. I mean, we were spared, thank the Lord. But it could happen. But there are worse things than that. And that's standing before God as a sinner on Judgment Day. Nothing will save you. You know, there's an old saying, it's a cliche, right? But I never saw a U-Haul, you know, right behind a hearse. You know what a hearse is, right? The funeral car that transports the coffin, right? Never saw someone pack up a trailer behind the hearse and take it with them, right? Because you can't take it with you. You can't take it with you, right? You know? We're all blind. We're naked and wretched before God. We don't have anything. You know, think of the 3 C's, right? The 3 C's of your life, college, career, cars. You know, I'm just trying to pull some out, right? We all focus on these things in our life. And those mean nothing. When you stand before God, hey, you know, I got this degree from this college. I got all this. God's going to be like, do you know me? Are your sins forgiven? It doesn't matter. Those things don't matter. In an earthly sense, yes, we pursue things because we want to glorify God and we build a life here. But ultimately, those things can't save you before a righteous God. You know, something I thought about too, again, when this hurricane comes, I mean, there are many poor people in this area, in the Caribbean. There are many wealthy people. The hurricane is no respecter of persons, right? And what I mean by that, it isn't the hurricane's like, oh, here's the wealthy area. I'm just going to scoot around that wealthy little gated-off community, and I'm just going to go to the hurricanes don't do that, right? And the hurricane doesn't look at your race, how much money you have, status. The hurricane, you know, I really think, as I was thinking about this whole ordeal of hurricanes, thinking about Houston, I was saying in my mind, man, like, this is a small taste of God's judgment. And either you know him or you don't. God's judgment is good for Christians. If we lose our life, it's good. If it's bad, very eternally bad for those who are not found in Christ. And this is a small taste of it, just a small taste, and it's huge for us. But it does not matter who you are, what gender you are, how much money you have, where you live. This hurricane does not care. Irma's not making up her mind about that kind of stuff. She just goes. It does not matter one bit. What matters is, am I saved from death? Am I saved from sins? Do I know Christ? He's my comfort. You know, here's another image just to think about, another image. There's another thing I was thinking about that in Florida we have a lot of. Not hurricanes, but you see these every so often in the news. People build a house, they think it's pretty level. Then what happens underneath it? What do you call those things when the ground gives way and the house? Sinkholes, you know? And I was thinking about that. I'm like, you know, again, this is like this, you think your life is perfect, but then there's a sinkhole under here, the boom, and it's happened. It's really sad. And especially on the Gulf Coast, people need to get like sinkhole insurance now, and it's pretty crazy. And I saw a documentary where, you know, some guy who looks into these things went to this lady's property and had a huge like pole, and he just went like this in the ground and just went like you're pushing it through paper. And a pole shouldn't go through that fast through your soil, right? You think there's rock and stuff down there. And basically, her house is sitting on a ticking time bomb, you know? Because what happens in Florida, the type of rock we have is very porous, and the water underneath, in the caves underneath, they eat away all that rock, and eventually, the house just collapses through, and it's happened, right? So we have a lot of sinkholes. And I was like, man, you just don't know. You think your life is on solid ground, and you think it's okay. But here's the point. If you do not know Christ as your Savior, you might have what appears to be a normal, successful life. But in the end, you're on a sinkhole. You have nothing propping you up. God doesn't know you. And in the end, when you face God, God, I had all these things. God doesn't care. He says, I am a holy, righteous God. Who are you? Now, if we're in Christ, Jesus will plead our defense and said, hey, Jesus will say, hey, I died for Deacon Tony. I died for him. I saved him. I gave my life for him. He's part of our family. Just we've been talking about Ephesians. He's in our family. God's adopted him, and he's been saved. But if not, if you do not believe in Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, you're on a sinkhole, you know? There's no foundation underneath. There's a famous passage that relates to all this. Matthew chapter 7, the Sermon on the Mount, verses 24 through 27. If you can flip there, Kara. I think I gave it to you. There it is. All right. Everyone, Jesus is talking to the crowd. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And next slide. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of it. Seem to have so much. You know, like you see these giant homes right on the beach. Then they're like, they're kind of just shifting sands, right? And the wind blows and the storm surge comes up and it's over, right? Next verse. Is that it? That's it? Okay. I didn't give her any more. But for the Christian, though, the Christian, right? The Christian builds his house on the rock, not on the sand, on the rock. And it's Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ, right? Everyone who hears these words of mine, does them, will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. If we're on the rock of Jesus, we will not get blown over. Now, here's something Jesus says too. This is really good. Not only does he say, you hear these words, but does them. Now, we cannot earn our salvation before God. We're unholy people. It's impossible. We've talked about that a lot. We cannot earn our salvation before God. God earned it for us through Jesus Christ. He completely obeyed God and earned our righteousness and still died as our sacrifice. At the same time, though, believing in Jesus is not a get-out-of-hurricane-free card, right? That's not what salvation is. Believing in Jesus is saying, not only are you my Savior, I believe that you saved me from my sins, but you're my Lord, you're my Master, I want to obey you. And so the evidence of my belief, this salvation, is I want to live like Jesus. I want to go show his love and his joy to people around me, you know? I want to pray for people. I want to encourage my church. I want to help those who are struggling with sin. I want to share the gospel. I want to be like Jesus. Is there evidence in your life that you actually do believe that Jesus is your master? Are you built on his rock? You delight in obeying this wonderful master. I want to bring glory to God. Oh, I want to bring glory to God. Hurricane or no, I just want to bring glory to you, Lord. I want to show people that Jesus is the answer. I want to help my neighbors, and I want to seek God's best in this world. Is that the desire of your heart? And that's following after Christ. I love you, God. You're my rock. And the wonderful thing is, how can a sinner be right with God? And again, you think of Jesus, and you're like, man, a hurricane's bad, but God's wrath poured over him. This hurricane, the hurricane force of God's wrath came over him because he took our sin upon himself. He was beaten with, metaphorically, waves. He was beaten with waves. The storm surge overwhelmed him. In fact, that's what baptism is, right? Baptism is, I'm going down to my death. I'm going down to my death under the waters of judgment. That's what baptism is. I'm dying to my old life, and I'm being raised to new life. Jesus underwent the floods of God's wrath for us. He was under God's storm surge. God the Father sent his overwhelming flood over his Son. And why did Jesus do that? Did that? He did it for us, for our salvation. God didn't have to save us. Again, we deserve much more than a mere hurricane because we've sinned. We've chosen to rebel against God because of our own selfishness, our desire not to follow him. But God still wanted to save us. And God, Jesus took that hurricane of God's wrath upon himself so that his love would pour out for us. And so, church, hey, if you're not in Christ, look what Jesus did for you. He underwent separation from his Father in that moment of death on the cross so that we'd be saved. And he's guaranteed us new life, eternal life through his Son rising from the dead. Praise God. Amen? Praise God. Praise God. Man. If this is true in your life, if you placed your faith in Christ, then live it out. Live it out. See if an elderly person in this church, find out who they are. Do they need help with anything? Dragging some trees to the road, right? Live out this life of Jesus, the life of love. One thing we need to ask as Christians that I want you to ponder as we close. If God stripped away everything in your life, let's say God did send a category. They're thinking about coming up with a new category of hurricane. Have you heard this? Category 6, right? Because we hit a 5, and they're like, well, could there be a 6? If God used a hurricane or anything else to take away everything from you, your house, your cars, I mean, God forbid, your family, everything. There was someone like that. There was someone named Job in the Bible that happened to. Would you still say, he gives and he takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord? That'll test your faith, right? My wife and I said, as we put some stuff in our car, we looked at our car, we're like, we don't actually have that much important stuff because we can kind of fill our van, that's it. You know, Elijah might miss his Legos a lot and, his Zelda game, right? But we're like, if our house blows down, we do have homeowner's insurance, we'll miss some things, but we grab some pictures, grab some things. If God took everything away, though, if God took away my loved ones, God took away my family, would I still say, blessed be the name of the Lord? He is my life. He is everything to me. He is my joy. He is my source of hope. And I have an eternal family. I have an eternal family. And I'll see my family again one day, Lord willing. God, is God your life? Can you say that? Christ is all for me. Look at Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I've died. And I heard this one pastor say this. It's really good. The worst thing that can happen to you has already happened to you. You've already died. You've already been crucified with Christ. That's the worst thing that possible that could ever happen to you. And it's already happened. You've already died. And we've already been risen with Christ. The best thing that's already happened to you. We are guaranteed of Jesus. We're guaranteed of life. If God took everything away, can I say Christ is enough for me? We sing it. Do we believe it? Christ is enough for me. If he took everything away and stripped it away. And I'm preaching to myself here. This is hard stuff. But is Christ enough for me? I don't need material possessions. I don't need it. Because God is enough. And then if we believe this, take it to your neighbor. Give. Think about how we can help. What can I do to assist? One day there will be no more storms. God will wipe away every tear from our eye, every bit of suffering. And he'll say, come on in. Come on into my kingdom, and I'll see my Savior face to face, and I'll know I'm home, and I'm protected forever. Maybe God will have some kind of wind and rain, the new heavens and earth. I don't know, but it won't hurt anybody. It'll be a beautiful thing there. I don't know. I'm going to pray. And then, like we did a couple weeks ago, I want to lead us in a communal time of prayer. I like us to split up in groups of three or four. If someone you don't know, somebody, grab somebody to be in your group. I like us to spend some time in prayer, all right? Let me pray, and then I'll give you a few instructions, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, God, you are a loving God. We sing this song that God's love's like a hurricane. That's a hard thing to sing at this time, Lord. But God, your love is so powerful that it saves us from death. And Lord, I pray that if anyone in here has not placed their faith in Jesus, that he's died for their sins, that he has forgiven them, if they would believe that he's done this for them, they believe and confess that they need a Savior for their life, that they're lost, eternally lost without him, and that there's eternal hell waiting those who are far from God, that they would get on their knees and just pray, I need you, Lord, as my Savior. I pray that today, that if you do not know Christ as Savior, as Lord, that you would put your faith in him, that you trust that he saved you by his death and his resurrection, his coming back to life from the grave, that he gives you new life. Would you put your faith in him today? And just tell him, I want you, Jesus. Number two, for us in this room who do believe and we love Jesus, can we say to ourselves, if God took everything away from us and it was just us, me, my soul before God, is that enough? Is God enough for me? Is he my life? Is he my love? Is he my joy? Is he my strength, my rock? And God, we know you are. We know you've done this throughout history. We have your word, and you're coming back again as our eternal rock. And Lord, help us keep our faith in you. God, we love you. In your son's name we pray, amen. What I want you to do now, just as you break into groups of three or four, we'll take about 10 minutes. Here's what I want you to do. I want you guys to pray. Pray for a couple things, practically. Pray for all those FP&L workers, right? They're doing some lot of work. You know, there are a lot of people from different states are coming down to help. Pray for them. Pray for all the linemen working on the lines. Pray for them.